Today's scripture comes to us from the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verse 6, and also Psalm 119 and verse number 71. And it reads, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Psalm 119 and verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." Thus ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. We want to share with you the message today, Friendly Fire. Friendly Fire. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for this awesome privilege that we have to worship. And it is good that we draw near to you. And that, Lord, even in times in our life when you send affliction or you send circumstances to correct us, to mold us, Lord, it is with that that we learn your righteousness and we learn your statutes. We learn to hear your voice clearly and to obey you. We ask that you would speak to our hearts, help us to indeed serve you in spirit and in truth. And for all these things, we give you praise and honor. For it's in Jesus' name that we do ask it all. Amen. Amen. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Unusual verse. Unusual verse. And yet it is powerful. One of the things that we do when we talk about friends, we want someone that will be nice to us, talk nice to us, treat us nice, help us out, tell us everything that we will work out and that. That's encouraging. But every now and then you need inventory of your friends to include those that will correct you. Those that will hold you accountable. Those that will say to you, you're wrong. Those types of friends where Proverbs talks about and Solomon shared with us today, those types of friends are those that don't mind wounding you. Now, I'm not talking about a fatal wound, and certainly we're not advocating any type of domestic violence, but what we are saying is that friend that confronts you can oftentimes help you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And you cannot read that verse in Proverbs without thinking about the latter part where it says, "But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." That reminds us of Judas Iscariot that came to Jesus. And Jesus reached out to him and said, "Friend, do you know why you're here?" And Judas didn't understand and didn't really comprehend what was going on, but Jesus was really confronting him. And yet Judas betrayed Jesus. He turned out to be deceitful because he was not really a friend to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what I want you to do is to look at your friendship inventory, all the friends that you have in your life. I know you've got a lot of folks that you got buddies. You got, like me, you probably, well, you don't have golf buddies, but some of you may have. Some of you have fishing buddies that they can, if they can't really catch the fish, they'll tell stories about the one that got away. So all of us have these types of friends in our lives. And today we focus on friends. Who does God send in your life as that special kind of friend to help you understand where you are and where you need to be? And I would even go as far to say that the reason why you're doing better in life is because someone God has sent your way that said, "Wait a minute. You don't need to be going this way. You need to be going that way. You don't need to be doing this. You need to be doing that." When you take that kind of inventory, it helps you to evaluate the folks that are influencing your life. Now, I know many of you say, "Well, I'm grown. I don't have folks influencing me." Well, I've learned that if you hang around certain people, you start picking up their ways. You can't hang around skunks without getting a certain odor. You won't hang around certain people without picking up their language, their mannerisms, their way of doing things. That's why I like to hang around the people of God. Amen. And notice I didn't say church folk,
that's right,
but the people of God. Because when you hang around the people of God, you learn their ways and you pick up their habits. And Reverend Givens was talking about some of the traditions and the way that old folk used to do and how they would love one another. And folk back in that day, they loved to cook. And it was not uncommon for you to be invited over to their house to have dinner. Because they were your friends. They were the people that were influencing your life. So what are the friends that you don't want to have in your life? What are the kind of friends that you would better served if you just kept them at distance? Not that you're going to hate people, but you don't want the kind of foolish friends. My mama used to tell me that whenever you hang around people that are more fool than you, you're going to be worse off. If you're hanging around somebody that doesn't have any sense of direction and any sense of doing right, those people can harm you. They are the wrong kinds of friends. The fool is the one that says in his heart, by the way, we had April Fool this past week. Yeah, April Fool's Day, and that's the devil's birthday. Yeah, you say, well, why is his birthday? Because he thinks he can beat God. How many of y'all know that that'll never happen?
Amen.
So April Fool on him. You can't beat God in no way you try. Amen?
Amen?
But all of us have been influenced by people that weren't thinking right. And when we hung out with them, somehow or another, we got motivated to do what they did, to say what they did, or say what they said, only to find out that we were going down a foolish path. And then we met someone that confronted us and said, you're going in the wrong direction. Also, I just want to warn you that you'll come across folk that will pretend that they're your friends. I call them fake friends. They'll smile in your face and they'll stab you in your back. Fake friends. They're the type of people that they will give you all these kinds of accolades and they will celebrate you to your face. But then when you turn your back, they're whispering.
Right.
Ah, fake friends. You can't really rely on them. You can't depend on them. And then they're the fault-finding friends. Yeah, you know, that dress, that's not you. That's because they're jealous. What you ought to do is look at them, tell them, you just jealous. That suit you're wearing, that's not you. That doesn't fit you well. Or always finding fault, and you're never good enough. Never good enough. And there are people in this world that they get joy and pleasure out of putting you down. Do I have a witness here? Fault-finding friends. These are the bad friends, the bad influences, and then lastly, you come to the fair weather friends. They're with you as long as the sun is shining. Yeah, they'll walk with you as long as everything is going good. But as soon as things turn south, they're gone. The prodigal learned that he had some buddies that would hang with him as long as he had some hang money. But as soon as his money ran out, his friends ran out. How many of y'all have gotten to your last dime and you looked around and you couldn't find those friends who were with you all the other time? Yeah, they were there. Man, I'm with you. And as soon as bad times come, those fair weather friends are gone. So what are the good friends? What are the ones that you could rely on? Well, let me just give you a few suggestions that we need to look at. First of all, you need to understand that what God does, he sets up our life in such a way that we've got folks that will come our way. They don't look like our friends because they might tell you the truth. Sometimes they will often tell us, I'm here for your good. I remember children often thinking that their parents were not their friends. And because their parents didn't give them what they asked for, they would say to their parents, now I didn't say it to mine, you said it on your breath, but You didn't say it to how many of y'all from the old school? Yeah, you don't talk like that around your parents. And now kids will tell your parents, well, you're not my friend. Well, you are their friends. Because what you're doing is you're looking down the road a ways and you're seeing that they're going to be better off if they not have certain things, if they don't go certain places, and certainly if they don't wear certain clothes. Hello? Is anybody in the building? The wounds do hurt, but they're there for a purpose. So let me just give you a few suggestions today as we recognize Friends Day. You want faithful friends. You want somebody that will stand by you, that won't let you down. They'll always be there. When you walk a mile, they'll walk a mile with you. As a matter of fact, if you look like you're going too, they say, I'm here to help you. How many of y'all got those kind of friends? Check your inventory now, because you need those types of people that when you call them, they'll call you back. Amen? When you say, I'm going through something right now and I need some help. Yeah, the Beatles wrote a song that you can find a little help from your friends. And I don't know who they were talking about, but I couldn't find anybody like Jesus, the greatest friend of all. He's the friend of sinners. Amen. And certainly he was my friend when I was in sin, and he talked me out of my sin and into his plan for my life. What a friend we have in Jesus. And then you want forward-thinking friends. You want people that are thinking about the future and not the past. You know, sometime when you go back home, as you say, you got all these people that'll tell you about remember when. I don't want to remember when. I want to go forward. I'm trying to use my mental faculties not to look back, but to look unto the Lord and to look unto the future that God has planned for me. God is concerned about your future, so he's going to send people in your life that's concerned about your future and not your past. Because I've learned something. You keep thinking about the past, you're trying to go back there. You're trying to go back to the old days when you were, you know, just partying and you pop your finger and you were doing all this other stuff. Pretty soon the devil going to have you back there with your old self. Amen. But you got to learn that the Lord is calling you into a greater plan for your life. So you need faithful friends. You need forward-thinking friends. But then you need forgiving friends. I don't mind telling you that this is where we get into the heart of the message, where we talk about not every other kind of person, but in your inventory of friends, if you don't have this one on your list, you don't have a friend. His name is Jesus. He's the one that brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You will never find anybody that can do you like Jesus. Nobody will pick you up and forgive all your transgressions the way that Jesus will do. As a matter of fact, he looks beyond your fault, even though he knows your fault. He looks at your life not to put you down, but to pick you up. But don't ever think that he won't correct you when you're wrong. A lot of folk, they want the sweet, innocent Jesus, the kind of Jesus that will give you a pacifier. But I'm here to tell you that this kind of Jesus will get out the whip sometime, and he'll clean up the house sometime. He will move things out of your way, and that's because he is your friend. You need that kind of friend, and that kind of friend is in Christ our Lord. Well, let me just tell you, let me just relate this to friendly fire. Friendly fire is known when the military or any type of engagement takes place where sometimes the people that are on the same side, they end up hurting each other. Had that happened recently in February where an officer was killed because he was in the line of friendly fire. Now, the world does that by accident, and it's unfortunate. And after they do it, it happened in the military where sometimes, rather than the bomb dropping where it should have, it dropped on the forces of good. And so you had friendly fire where people were wounded. They did it by accident and they apologized. Are y'all still with me? But God sends the friendly fire not by accident, and don't expect him to apologize. God sends this friendly fire because sometimes, rather than us being on the Lord's side, we're over on the enemy's side. Are y'all in the house today? And yes, God will forgive your sin, but he's also going to send these things in your life to let you know that you are off track. You are not where you need to be. So he will send the friendly fire to let you know that he is involved in your life and you can't keep halting or wavering between two opinions. Some folks, should I go to church or should I go to the club? Should I go over here and have a good time, or should I go to the house of the Lord and try to get my house right? Let me tell you something. The Bible says Jesus is coming back real soon. Everybody say real soon. Now, if he comes and he finds you in the church, that's going to be well and good, right? As long as the church is in you. But if he finds you in a place you ought not to be, are y'all in the house today? Then God says, I want you and your life to be on track. What happened with the northern tribe of Israel, I got to move right on. The northern tribe of Israel had drifted. Rather than them serving God, first of all, they got cut off from the rest of their nation. A king named Jeroboam, he decided, well, you know, we need to move over here. And that was fine. You know, sometimes folks can't live in the same house. You know, they got to go, you know. You know, so they said, well, we're going to move over here. You're going to move over there. But the problem came when they started worshiping the gods over there. Are y'all here? It's fine for people to say, well, I'm going to move here and I'm going to go over here and I'm going to, because my job is moving me or something else is moving, but don't move out on God. Are y'all still with me? And so God had to send the prophet Elijah to get the people back on track. Everybody say, back on track. They had drifted. They had moved from the place where God wanted them, and he had to bring them back to the Lord. And here's the thing that Elijah said. Now, you all say that Baal is God. And I say that the Lord Almighty, that Jehovah is God. Let's have a God contest. And the God who answers by fire, let him be God. And so they got out there on Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450 against one. 450 prophets of Baal. They called on Baal. They made sacrifices to Baal and Baal didn't answer. But then came the time for the evening sacrifice. How many of you know that when you conduct that evening, you say, what is that? Just call on the name of Jesus and God will make a way out of no way. When the time of the evening sacrifice came, the Bible tells us that Elijah repaired the altar of God and he began to call on the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And the Bible said that when he had made the altar and placed the wood on it and drenched it with water. Now, I've learned this. When you put water on wood, the fire won't burn. He poured water on the wood, but don't you know that the fire of God is so powerful? The fire of God is so mighty that when it comes, it doesn't matter whether it's been wet with wood or drenched in sin. Amen. He comes to purify. And I feel like preaching. Is it 11 o'clock yet? I can preach till then. Why? Because when God sends the fire, it'll get you back on track. I thank God for the friends who came with some fire in their life. Some friends who said to me, you're going the wrong way. You're on the wrong path. You need to turn around. That fire of God fell on that altar. And every one of those Israelites began to bow and say, he is God. He is God. He is God. How many know you can't find nobody like Jesus? He is God. Go on, give him a hand clap. Yeah, he will send that friendly fire into our lives to get us back on track. But then he sends the friendly fire sometimes when we're wrong. It's not always the worship that's wrong. Sometimes we like to do stuff and then hide it. You know, we get a little bone and then we bury it. So King David in the Bible, he committed this sin, right? Yeah, this man after God's own heart, the sweet psalmist of Israel, had written songs to the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He had written psalms like, the Lord is my light and my salvation. But don't you know he had some sin in his life? And God sent some friendly fire. The friendly fire came from a man by the name of Nathan. After David had sinned with Bathsheba, he said, nobody will know about this, even though folks did know. And you know, when folks know your business, they're going to either try to help you or they're going to tuck it away until a convenient time. Huh? That's bad fire. Everybody say, that's bad fire. Yeah, when they just come out with it in public, like, you know, they're going to put your name out there in public. Like, let me hang it out in lights. Let everybody know what you did. Let me tell you something. There's not a person in this room you don't have some sin. And it's either under the blood or in somebody's pocket. But my sin is under the blood. Do I have a witness here? Here's what you call friendly fire. God waited for David to come back to him because, after all, he's a man after God's own heart. And the Lord waited for him. A whole year went by. And the Lord said, he's going to come. He's going to come. I know he's going to come and pray. And then David didn't come. God said, Nathan, go over there and tell him this little story. And King David, he loved stories about sheep. And so Nathan got to telling this story about a sheep. He said, King, let me tell you the story. He said, there was this man, a rich landowner, had plenty of sheep. And rather than him taking one of his sheep and feeding his guests, he decided that he was going to take one only sheep that belonged to this man down on the corner. Did not take his own, took his one only sheep and sacrificed it so that they could have a dinner. And David was furious. He said, that man ought to die for the thing that he did. He ought to repay him back four times for his loss. Then Nathan got a little bit closer to him. And he said, David, you're that man. You're that man. When you have a friend like that that'll point their finger in your face and tell you you are wrong, then you know you got a real friend. Now, let me tell you, in that day, the king had absolute power. They had absolute authority. He could have said, you don't tell me, I'm the king. I'm the king, I rule this thing. But he didn't come with his own fire. He came with the fire from God. How many of you all have had something that the Lord laid on your heart and you wanted to go tell somebody, but you were a little bit scared? But then you got so stirred up on the inside that you said to yourself, you know what, I can't deal with this no longer. And so you looked them in the face and you said to them, you know what, you did this. And that was wrong. And God wants you to get it right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that God will send that friendly fire. Let me just close by telling you one more fire that God sends us. He sends the fire of the Holy Spirit to move us forward in our lives. Move us forward in our lives. You don't hear much conversation about the movement of the Holy Spirit, because at first when people getting it, they thought, well, it's just an experience. And so they clapped their hands, they did all of that, and they were overjoyed because that's not why God sent the Holy Ghost. Amen. God sent the fire of the Holy Spirit to get a message out. Amen. And the message is, the world is in sin, and it needs a Savior. So if your life is going to move forward, you need someone, the type of friend who will come with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 and 8, it tells us that Jesus said, I want you to be my witnesses. And as my witnesses, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll start in Jerusalem, and then you'll go into Judea and into Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth, because you're my witnesses. But he said, you will be endued with what? Power. Power. Did you not know that fire can light you up? When you put a fire under somebody, they're going to move. You light them up. And you know what God says to us every Sunday? I want to light you up so you can light the world. I want to light you up so you can go out and lighten somebody else's heart. Do you know how many homes are burdened down? Do you know how many lives are destroyed because of sin? We need somebody with some fire. I just came to ask a question before I go to my seat. Does anybody in this room have some fire? Do you have something on the inside that's working on the outside that's telling the world that Jesus is real? When that day of Pentecost came, they didn't stay in the upper room. That fire moved them out. And that fire moved them to their Jerusalem. And then it moved them to their Judea. And then it moved them into their Samaria. And then it moved them to the uttermost part of the earth. And somewhere it hit Evington, Virginia. And the same Holy Ghost fire that fell on them that day is with us today in our lives. So my last question before I go to my seat, what do you plan to do with your fire? I wish you would become a friend with some fire that will go over to somebody else who has no fire and tell them, let me give you a light. Let me give you some joy. Let me give you some peace. Let me give you something that will help you move you forward in your life. People are paralyzed because of the sin in this world. And if ever was a time that we have wickedness in high places, that time is now. And it's time for us to light a fire. God bless you. May heaven smile on you. Father, we thank you for your joy, for your love. Thank you for the fire today that you've confronted us in our sin. You've helped us to move forward in our lives. And God, you've helped us to overcome these things that have held us down so that we can be the people of God. Thank you for friendly fire. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to someone's heart today. Let them know that they need to be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to extend the invitation. If there be one today, perhaps you're without hope and without Christ, we invite you to come. If you're here today, never made a decision for Christ. We talked about Elijah and the decision that the people had to make. Maybe today is your day of decision. Your day to say, Lord, I'm going to take you up on this. I'm going to believe your word. If that's you today, we invite you to come. Let's all stand. Y'all let me preach overtime. We ask that you pray for the Kraft family. Reverend Sherman Kraft passed away, and we ask that you would pray for his family. Pray for the family of Reverend Vaughn. His funeral will be today, and others that need prayer for God's guidance and his direction in their lives.